Well, y'all go ahead and be seated. I'm not used to telling people to sit down, you know. Well, if you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalms chapter 100. Very familiar with these scriptures, but I was thinking, and I was telling Brother Rick earlier that I've kind of known about this for a couple of weeks, and I would think, and I would study, and I would read, and the Lord never really gave me nothing that I thought was concrete. You know, then I'd listen to some stuff. I listened to some stuff that Rick had sent, and I'd listen a little bit of it. And then on the way home the other day, the Lord just spoke to me and said, "A call." You know, and I heard a guy say one time here just recently said that all the great churches, the great of revivals, are fading away. And his thing was that the people are not answering the call of God, because the call of God has never changed. It's always there. That, Brother Scotty, that anointing's there. And when we think about it, you know, what happens is that we're getting lazy. And I'm talking me. And what it is that it don't fit my agenda. You know, and when God calls and asks me to do something, you know, I have to check my agenda first to see that if I can make room for God, and if I can't make room for that, what God wants me to do, I'll say, "God, I ain't got time." And we find ourselves doing that a lot. But today's call, you know, when you look at this right here in Psalms 100, I mean, you know, the first verse, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Half the time, that's a call. Wherever you go, you ought to be joyful for God. We're Christians. Guy asked me, they said, "What makes you a Christian?" I said, "God does. I do. What I choose, it's what I like." Right? And, you know, and when you think about, and people today are looking, there's a generation of people out there today that's looking, that needs to see a call on mine and your life that God has already put on it. God has called every one of us into something. We all can be a witness. The Bible says that we're all a witness, but wherever we go, we can change somebody's life by our testimony, by our healing, by our financial, you know what, by telling somebody what God has done for you. That's a call on your life. People say, "Well, I'm happy with what I do." Well, what do? We come to church and sit. And most of the time, that's on Sunday. No, there's not no big revivals. You know, the guy also said that the church and the revivals and all the great preachers are getting to be like dinosaurs. They're getting to be distinct. I don't want to be distinct. I don't want to fade away. I don't want to go away. I don't want to be that one that has to go into the ground and hide to worship God. But someday there's going to be a time here in America where we're not answering the call of God and what God has done. And the survey said the other day, I seen one other day on TV, said that it's less than 54% of Americans that believes in God. They believe in some type of God, but they don't believe in the God. That's sad. And we wonder, the Bible says, Rick, you know, the Bible says that when a nation pulls away from God, that God will pull away from it. And we look and wonder why our nation is such an uproar and a turmoil that it is in, and everything that's going on. Look at what we're doing. We're not, the church is not answering the call and going out and being the witness and preaching the gospel everywhere. We're sitting back and letting the world tell us how to do it. You know, and when you think about what this is saying, that everything that we're doing is that the call on mine in your life is to go into the world and preach. Well, I'm not a preacher. Beg your pardon. You still can tell the gospel. You all have been called to tell the gospel. You all have been called to be that witness. In Mark chapter 16, you look what it says. And Jesus said, go ye into all the lands and preach the gospel to every creature. I remember when I was in the army, funniest thing ever was. And we went by a drill sergeant camp where they trained drill sergeants. And there's these drill sergeants standing out by a tree. And I mean, they was dogging that tree out. Nobody around. I mean, they was telling it to run, jump, push, jump, hop, go, you know. And we all laughed and made fun. You know, because, but that sergeant told us that that's where they train them. You know, and sometimes I think we need to stand in front of the mirror, Pastor Ed, and we need to train ourselves again. And we needed to go out and preach and teach and train ourselves on the Word of God. Need to tell people how to be saved. You know what? Everybody should be able to tell somebody how to be saved. Everybody ought to know. That's a call on our life that everybody ought to be able to. Even if you can't say nothing, you should be at least able to quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? That He gave. What are we giving back? What? If God has given us a call today and He's asked us to do this, what are we giving back to Him? What kind of call are we giving back? What kind of answer? Most of us is like this, all right? Ignore. Right? I mean, I'm talking, preaching on me. Because, you know, when you think about this, just read the rest of that. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And He is He that made us. He made us, right? And not we ourselves, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pastures. Enter to His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. That's a call on all generations. From here to the end of time, God has got a call on the generation. You remember in the Bible when Joseph had a dream, and his dream was that someday that, you know, he would be in command. Just shorten it down. And when he told it, his brothers laughed. He got angry, got mad at him, you know. You know, he goes out and takes some dinner, and they see him, and they think, well, this is the time we'll get rid of him. And they throw him in a pit, and somebody comes along, and they sell him. But you know, all through his time on that, he never forgets the call that God has on his life. He was, right, Brother Rick, he was faithful to that call. You know, and Brother Scott, when I think about that, you know, even when they even try to set him up, he still was faithful. You know, and that's, do you know the devil will set you up today? You know, the devil will take your best friend. You know, the devil will take your, you know, he'll even use your family. Maybe your husband, maybe your spouse. And he will try his best to set you up today. You know what? To try you to get, you know, I've heard pastors say this, and I'll tell you, it's always the truth. On Sunday mornings, and you're studying, you're getting ready, and you're ready for church, you know what? That's when intense fellowship can happen. You know why? Because he wants you off your game. He wants to take us out. And if he can take us out of that, and we're not in the church and the preachers are not answering the call, you know what? Then if we're not coming in this house and we're not prayed up and we're not anointed and we're not ready for that day, you know what? Then we could have called somebody that day to leave here and not get saved. But if we stay prayed up, fired up, and get ready, you know what? We could change somebody's life every day. That's why we ought to stay on the call. Think about Elijah when he seen Elisha. You know, and Elisha starts following him. And he tells Elisha, he said, you know, if you stick around, Brother Rick, if you stick around, I'll give you what you need, what you want. So Elijah tries to tell Elisha several times, well, I'm going here, but you stay here. But what did Elisha say? No. No, no. He stayed with the call. You see, and I think that's what we need to get back to today. We preachers, you know what, and everybody that goes through, we need to get back and stay with the call. We need to worry not about social media, not about what's going on in the world around us, not about our bank accounts, not about our cars. You know what? We need to worry about what's going on with God and what God has got you to do. Then we can see something different. Then we can be somebody. You know what? I want to see the church be just on fire again. You know what I'm saying? You know, and to be on fire, we got to answer that. We've got to answer the call. You know what? And what God, you know, so I've heard somebody say, well, God just ain't got nothing for me to do. Well, you're not listening. Because God got a lot for us to do. But if we never read, we never pick up our Bible, we never study, the only thing we hear is on Sunday morning, you know what? God probably don't have no much use for you. But he can still use you. And he still will use you. But you think about this. When Elisha got what he wanted, he stood around and he said, and the Bible says that he got a double portion of what Elijah had. He's able to do double the miracles. That's pretty good, Brother Rick. You know, that's what we're after today. I was telling Brother Rick earlier, I'd rather have the anointing of God and feel the presence of God more than anything in this world today. Because there's something there. It's special. And God, when you got a call on your life, you know what? You're special with God. And, you know, and think about this too. You know what? And if we would answer the call and we would go, guess how many lives that we could change? I always say that somebody, you have got the answer to somebody's miracle. You do. But we don't exercise it. We're afraid of it. Somebody rolled in that door back there. He come up through here in a wheelchair. And I thought about this often. What would I do? Sister Debbie, what would I do? To be put on the point, right on the spot. You know, some of the guys that goes overseas and, you know, they got to prove their God right there. And Brother Rick, if they don't prove their God right there, they get killed. What would we do? Would we deny God right there because we're afraid that it wouldn't happen? Or would we stand up? Something to think about, people. Because if you've got a call in your life, you know, the thing that you need to realize is that healing belongs to you. And healing belongs to, you know, the Bible says that all that believes that we can heal. That you can lay hands on the sick, Brother Charles, and the Bible says they might not recover. But the Bible says that they shall recover. Why? Because I've got a call. Why? Because I believe. Why? Because I know that it works. Right? Brother Rick told me out there, you know, said when they told him about his cancer, you know what? He told the devil, he said, you picked on the wrong guy. See, that's the mentality that we have. We got to have that blind Barnabas mentality. You know what? Jesus! Hey! over here. I'm here. And the people of the world will tell you to be quiet, but you don't need to be quiet. You need to holler that much louder. Jesus! Have mercy on me. You know what? And Jesus will hear you. He will touch you. He will change you. He will save you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you think, well, God has got a call on your life that He wants to save you, change you, and show you something, but quit running. It's time that we don't run no more. It's time that Christians quit running. It's time that we stand up in church. It's time that we clap our hands. It's time that we praise the Lord. It's time that we make a joyful noise unto God. It's time that, you know what, that we are glad that we are Christians. And you know, I was telling Brother Scotty earlier about this pastor. He got up on a Sunday morning and the prettiest day he had ever seen. No wind, just calm. He said, man, what a good day to be golfing. So he thanks Pastor Rick. He says, calls up his buddy, his associate, and he says, hey, I ain't going to be able to make it to church today. Could you cover for me? Yeah, I'll cover for you. You know, he gets up and he goes on and he goes golfing. He gets out there the first hole. Hole in one. And he's just so excited. And up in heaven, St. Peter looks at God and says, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Look what you just let happen. He says, who's he going to tell? He ain't supposed to be there, so who's he going to tell? Right? We need to stay with our call. Now let me read you something here. I ain't going to keep you long tonight. Because if I start long, I'll be here all night. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 22. You know, we need to be a church that prays together. We need to be a church that praises together. And then we need to be a church that's not ashamed to be together. Right? We need to be that. You know, when I first got saved, you know, I wasn't ashamed to be a Christian. You know, I've always been pretty. I'm not always a quiet person. You know. You know, sometimes I'm quiet, Rick. You know, I'm not too. You know, I am. You know, but. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, yeah, I had to go there, didn't I? The first time that I went out to church, you know, and I was in a great church service, and things was going, things was moving, and man, I wanted to just say something, I wanted to dance, I wanted to shout. The devil said, you fool. And I sat there and listened to him for a minute, knowing what I'd done received and what I had. But you know what? But he was trying to make me feel embarrassed. Imagine that, me embarrassed. But the devil will do that to you. Right? He'll try his best to embarrass you, you know what? And try to make you say, well, you know, you look like the most foolish thing. Well, I was a fool in the world. Guess what? I'm going to be a bigger fool for Jesus. They think I was bad and loud then, wait till they see me now, right? Listen, and this whole thing with it, you know what, is that when God says move, you need to move. When God says run, you need to run. When God says shout, you need to shout. When God says dance, you need to dance. No matter who's around, what's around, go up and just say, you know what, there, devil, today I'm going to show you who I am. You know what, I am a child of God. I've been here. And I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to have to stand my ground, and you can't make me leave. That's what we need to be. Superman, right? Super Christian. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of you. But listen to this. Matthew 22. And this is what I'll end with. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by a parable and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You see that? This is still alive today. You know, God is still calling you to come to this. And look, Brother Charles, there's a lot not coming. There's a lot not answering this. And someday, they're going to fool around, they're going to miss it. You know what, I don't know what a lot of people's waiting on. I don't know what they're holding on to. I don't know what's out there. There's nothing in that world out there that's worth losing your soul. And this right here, this call, this is a king's call. This is God's call. And this is to all generations. This right here, this ought to be preached more in the church today. People need to hear this. This parable. And what did they have to do? Let's paraphrase this. Look at it. What did they have to do? They had to go out into the byways and the highways. Right? And get the people to come. To bid them to come. So the wedding wouldn't be embarrassing. Exactly what it was. So they would have some guests. You know, and when I looked at that, and I listened to something that Rick had sent me about the king's call, and I thought about this thing, and I thought about what I just said about the embarrassment. And I thought, when God shows up on Wednesday night, is he embarrassed that people chooses other things over him than, and I'm guilty for this, all right? I'm not preaching at you. I'm throwing me in there. That we choose other things to do and then to come to church on Wednesday. Now, this is a call. And this is my thing. You can get mad at me, and I don't want you mad at me, but what's better, is Wednesday not as good as Sunday? It's the same, right? Should be the same. Tuesday should be the same as Sunday. Thursday should be the same as Sunday. You know what? Every day, we're not just chosen to be a Sunday Christian, but we're chosen to be a 7 days a week, 24-hour a day Christian. That's what the call is. You know what? And you know what? I don't know if it's that we're just don't have the agenda for it. You know what? But we need to start making more time. I need to make more time for God in my life and answer this call more seriously in what we do. Seriously. You know, this is a serious game. This means this game, it's not a game, but we can call it a game, but it involves life and death. It involves healing or not healing. It involves prosperity, whether they want to believe in the prosperity message, you know what? But God will take care of your finances. If you are a believer, you are a giver, God will take care of you. You can call me a name it and claim it. That's me. I'm a name it and claim it preacher. Why? Because the Bible names it, and I will claim it. You know what? And if I believe that Bible, you know what? It says all things are possible to them that believe. So I have to believe this call. Right? I have to believe. I don't want them that were bidden not to come. I don't want to be in that group. I want to be in the group that makes it. I want to be in the first ride out, don't you? I want to be in that first boat out. You know, when that first call up, I want to be there. I don't want to hang around to see if I make it. I want to make it. And we can argue about all we want to argue about. I will not argue with that. I just say, you know, when he calls me, I want to go. Whether it's by boat, whether it's by water, or whether it's flying in the air, I want to go. You know what? But the only way that I can go, and the only way that you can go, is that we have to stay true to this call. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to answer this call tonight. I thought about this. I thought this could be a special service just for that. Because it's special. That call is special to that lost person. That lost person is a special guest to us tonight, ain't he? Just think about it. I mean, we know that. And it's not to point nobody out. It's not to make nobody mad. It's not to make nobody nervous. But it's about to make somebody concerned. I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about what we're doing and how we are preaching this call. And what, you know, we all need a little vacation. We all need a little time. We need some me time. But we need a lot of God time. We need a lot of God time. And to get God time, you got to answer this call. I'm looking at the clock. All right. You remember Peter? When the Lord said, "Peter, you'll deny me." Peter said, "No way, Lord. It's impossible. Ain't no way. But you deny me three times." And what happened? Three times, he denied him, right? And the last time that he denied him, the Bible says that you may be cursed, right? You know, can I tell you something? What happened? He got away from the call. When he left, as send up our brother Scotty. As long as he was right here, this is Jesus, all right? As long as he was right here, he was willing to fight. He was willing to do whatever he could. But when he got over here, I don't know him, but he got a little further away because they was recognizing me. Yeah, I seen you with this man.
Dude, I don't know who that man is. And then he gets way over here because they noticed him. And he gets way over here in the corner. I don't know if you picked me up over or not, but I'm over in the corner.
But then he looks over and he curses because, well, ain't no way I've been with that guy right there. Notice the further that he got away, the more angry he got. The more he got away from the call, the more angry he got, and the more he got loose. But thank God for the day of Pentecost. Because that day he was filled. And he was able to go. Just think, when the guy that's sitting at the gate, beautiful. And when he seen Peter and John come, and he said, surely these guys got something for me. Whew. Boy, he didn't know, did he? Thought he was going to get some money or something that day. But surely these guys got something for me. And when he looked at him, Peter said, "Look up at me. Look here. Silver and gold have I none. Ain't got no money for you. Ain't going to buy you dinner tonight. But what I've got for you, such as I have, I'm going to give to you tonight." Hallelujah. Rise and walk. You know what? He rose and walked. And you know why he was able to do that? Because Peter stayed true to his call. He didn't back down. That's why 3,000 souls was added to the kingdom of God that day. Because Peter stood up that day. And he answered his true call. And a life was changed. What would we do if we would stand up today and answer that call? What would change in our lives? Be something, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord? Ain't God good? I'm going to close with this. And if you would, just stand with me here tonight. Just bow your head there. Well, let's just make this simple. If you're here tonight and you know whether you're saved or whether you're lost,